The Little Wing Auto Gyro, why it looks the way it looks, from designer Ron Heron. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. PRA 2010 last week in Mentone, Indiana, offered a chance to see many rotorcraft you don't see anywhere else. One of the more highly respected designs among gyroplanes is the Little Wing, a tractor layout that brings back a classic look from the 1930s, especially when equipped with a Rotec radial engine. Designer Ron Heron was generous enough with his time to answer some of my questions about his machine, which really stands out in a sea of modern pusher gyroplanes. Ron, tell us about the genesis of the Little Wing Auto Gyro, specifically why you chose a tractor design.
Well, I didn't choose a tractor design originally. I learned to fly in a Benson gyrocopter. I built this thing, and you know, if you know the history of a Benson, you read a manual and it tells you step by step how to fly it, and you know, towed the thing behind a car and all, just like lots of these people have done. But I flew that thing for several years, put several hundred hours on it. Well, in the course of being associated with people that fly, people of that ilk, if you will, a lot of people were getting killed on them. And it seemed to be a universal type of thing. You could pretty much predict what the scenario of the accident was. It was always called a bunt over, or porpoising, they called it. Well, during this period of time, I also was interested in the history of an autogyro. And so I started reading back, and it didn't take long to understand that the original autogyro configured like this didn't have that issue at all. It was not even a factor. So, you know, just a little simple, it's not complicated. It's not rocket science. You know, if you got a long arm and you got a big tail and you got your engine positioned where it's pulling in the middle of the mass, it doesn't have any proclivity to do anything but go straight. So that's where the thought process began. And I happened upon an old wrecked Piper Cub and utilized the airframe, and I built up a rotor mast and outrigger landing gear and made this thing into an autogyro. And I was the idiot of the airport. You wouldn't believe, you know, this went on for a couple of years building this thing, but that thing flew and flew pretty well. I did tear it up, I hate to admit, but anyway, I learned a lot from it. But I didn't have, or there wasn't a rotor system large enough for that size of an aircraft. You know, I wasn't building rotor blades, and there just wasn't anything on the marketplace. So I just decided to scale it down to accommodate off-the-shelf items I could get. And, you know, so that's where this scale came from, was just to basically look sort of like a cub, make it smaller. And started off, I built two to start with. One had a McCulloch drone engine that I actually took off the Benson. And then the other one had a Volkswagen engine. And I built them and carried them around to the shows side by side, and would fly both of them. I brought them here in 96. This one still has a 97 sticker on the windshield. So that sort of covers where it all started. But basically, just go back and read your history books. There was not ever that type of accident in an autogyro ever, whenever configured like this.
All right, but at the same time, you did take a few historical touches on this one in particular. You've got a Rotec radial engine, which just looks right.
It looks right. It's the most expensive thing, single item, I've ever bought in my life. You know, I drive a 300,000-mile Ford pickup, so I can haul around a $15,000 engine. But after, you know, successfully flying this thing for about 10 years, it just seemed the right thing to do. When this engine became available, this is engine number 3, by the way. This is one of their earliest engines, second one to fly on an aircraft. So I was doing some of their groundwork, you know. But it's been a good engine, and it sure made a difference. And I would carry this thing to the shows all the way from 95, and people were like sort of interested in the tractor, you know, but not very much. Not didn't draw a lot of attention. But when I showed up at Oshkosh with that engine on, I flew it into Oshkosh, and it was like a magnet, you know, just something magic about those engines.
I want to ask you about another interesting thing you've done on this machine, and that's the redundant control rods. You don't hear about a lot of control rod failures if guys maintain them properly, but you've gone a step further. Looking at your triple redundant system, it looks as though if one of the outside rods went, you'd still have control, but maybe with more control force. Have I got that right?
You wouldn't have more control force. I've flown it, actually, with rods loose. And you can't even tell the difference. You know, you're pivoting off the center, so if you lost one of them, you really don't notice a leverage difference. At least I didn't notice it. You know, of course, you're pretty well, you know, you're not so sure about this. A lot of these test flights, you know, you're pretty wound up. But now you don't hear of a lot of failures, but if you go back, there have been some, and some notable ones. Leroy Hardy, for example, a real fine PRA member. He and another fellow were killed from a rod breaking. And once they break, if you only got the two, and you lose one, you're dead. I mean, there is no recovery. You know, some of the guys you might see have some overhead thing as just a backup in case they lose their linkage. Well, like I say, it's not, or like you say, it's not common, but this pretty much gets rid of that worry, you know.
What are some other things that you've tried to do on this machine that are different from what you usually see on a gyroplane tractor or pusher?
Okay, one of the things that you worry about in a gyroplane, since the rotor is driven pneumatically, in other words, it has to have airflow through it, what happens when you unload the rotor? And originally, we just talked about this bunt over thing where you're mismatched physics, you know, mm-hmm. causes the thing to tumble forward. But if you think about it, if you've got a powerful engine like that, there's also torque roll that if you were to unload the rotor, you know, when you're flying, that rotor is countering that, right? But if you unload it, the thing could also spin around this way. So I've got differential tail planes on this that are adjustable. And if you take the thing and put it on load cells and level it and run it, you can get a pretty good idea of how that's affecting the twist, and you can adjust those tail planes to counter that. So you're trying to cover all your bases, you know, in the event that you did somehow unload the rotors, and that would normally happen maybe in a severe thunderstorm or something where you had a downdraft, you wouldn't flip any direction. You know, this pretty much covers all the bases there.
In a moment, why weld chrome moly when you could assemble aluminum with bolts? More with Ron Herron coming up. I'm Paul Plack, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
This AeroCast segment is sponsored by 4Flight, makers of 4Flight Mobile HD, the elegantly designed iPad and iPhone app for pilots. Learn more about 4Flight's new touch-based flight planning capability. Build complex flight plans and bend routes around weather in just seconds using only your fingers. With HD Nexrad, VFR and IFR charts, terminal procedures, a comprehensive AFD, and now touch planning. Visit us online at www.4flight.com. 4Flight. Intelligent apps for pilots.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamond.com. Diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack. My guest today is Ron Herron, the designer of the Little Wing Autogyro, a classic-looking departure from the typical bolted aluminum pushers usually seen at rotorcraft meets.
This is not for the faint of heart. I mean, the Benson was famous because any guy with a hand drill and a screwdriver could put one together in a few hours in his garage out of bolted aluminum tubing. This is welded chrome moly, a lot of it is. What should someone who would be interested in building one of these know about getting the plans and time required to build one?
Well, they shouldn't be faint of heart. You said that already. They should have an idea of what's involved in building an aircraft. And this is what I tell people. I say go somewhere where somebody is building an airplane of some kind, where welding is involved, where fabric, and talk to them. Discuss how much time you're going to spend. It's not going to be easy. A lot of people get some things welded up and that's the end of it, and then they got just scrap metal. You know, you pretty much have to commit. One of the things I've seen, you know, we've sold probably on the order of 600 sets of plans, and yet there aren't that many of them finished. And one of the reasons is they get finished basically with the airframe and they get ready to buy an engine, and they go out here and say, well, what kind of engine would you put on it? And I said, well, I would put a Rotec radial, or I'd put a Rotax 912S or a 914. And they go, well, those engines are like $15,000 to $30,000, right? Well, what about a Corvair engine? What about a Subaru? And you get that, and to me, I just, you know, it's not going to work for you. It might fly, but you're not going to be happy with it. You need to count the cost at the beginning because it's a fairly involved project. I wouldn't tell anybody otherwise, but it is doable. Now, this thing, it's not, there's not a lot of aesthetics. It's flat, slab-sided. I did all that intentionally so it wouldn't be hard to build. You know, it's not any compound curves or anything like that. You just lay it flat on a table, weld it up like a ladder, stand it up, get everything vertical, heat the members, and pull them together at the tail post. Now, that's not easy, but it's not rocket science again either. It
may not be easy, but it's not complicated.
It's not complicated beyond the average hobbyist, actually. If he can build models, he can build this. It's just on a larger scale. And in some ways, this is even easier. I don't have a lathe. I don't have a mill. I build this with a hacksaw, a welder, a vise. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just very basic tools, you know, drills. I do have a drill press. But, you know, you don't need anything exotic. You need to know how to weld, and that's not hard either. You can take scrap metal. That's what I advise people to do. Go get a bunch of little cutoffs. When you get to where you can weld those, put them in a vise and beat them apart and see what you got. Do that again when you're welding the real thing. And another thing I encourage people to do, the airframe is by far the hardest thing to build. The landing gear, the tailplanes, the rudder, those can be built flat on a table. Start with those. You waste less metal. You learn how to weld. And you'd be surprised at people that do not take that advice. They do all the hard part first. And when they finally get good, they build the easy parts.
Right.
So, but, you know, it can be done.
How should people contact you if they want to get plans or more information? Do you have a website?
I do have a website, littlewingautogyro, singular, .com. I don't have a link. And the reason is I work a full-time real job. It just got to be where I couldn't handle it, and especially phone calls. Some people take that personal that I don't take phone calls. But email me. I will answer every email. If you have 100 questions, I'll answer 100 questions. And, I mean, that's a commitment I make to. And if you're interested in plans and you want to talk to me or communicate with me about it, email. And I check it every day. And you can ask people, anybody that emails me, they get an answer from me.
Well, Ron, thanks for taking some time. This is a really neat machine. We look forward to seeing it fly.
Thank you very much.
And we did see it fly at Mentone, like it was on rails. You'll get to see it, too, in an upcoming feature on Aero TV. Ron Heron can be reached through his website at www.littlewingautogyro.com. That's autogyro with a Y. The machine Ron brought to Mentone was also on the cover of EAA Sport Pilot magazine in December of 2004. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.